Let's take our Bibles and go to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12. This morning I just want to give us a challenge in the new year. As we begin this new year of 2024 and we have hopes of the Lord doing great things in our life and the blessings that will come in this new year, the blessings of life, the blessings of relationships, the blessings of growing in our faith and growing in our relationship with the Lord. There'll be some challenges in this year, as there always is, but that always gives God an opportunity to show himself great and mighty on your behalf. Because as you and I continue to call upon the Lord, he truly does want to show himself a God who has been proven over time, who is faithful, who is gracious towards us, merciful, always ready to help us, always ready to lift us up when we fall down, always ready to encourage us, and at many times even carry us. So Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, as we look at running our race with Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Father, we do thank you again this morning for allowing us to be together. Thank you, Father, for the safety you gave. I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning. I pray, Father, that we would not be distracted in our thoughts. And that, Father, we would be completely in tune with you this morning as you do want to speak to us through your word. And I pray, Father, that we would have ears to hear, a heart to receive. I pray, Lord, you would guide each of us according to your will. Lord, be with those that are not able to be here this morning. I know that there are some that are out of town, some that are sick. And I pray, Father, you would just minister to the hearts of all your people. Father, would you continue to help us to lift up Christ in our life, to bring honor and glory to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, this morning, talking to us about running our race with Christ, because each of us have a race to run. You may get tired in the race. There may be times in your life that you want to quit in the race. And honestly, that is completely normal. But we have Jesus Christ who gives us the ability and gives us the strength to keep pressing on, to get our strength for him so we can keep running the race, because he has something that he wants each of us to strive for, and that is himself. That's why the Bible says, looking unto the author and finisher of our faith, he wants us to keep our eyes on him, because there are crowns to be won in this race. And it's not based on what somebody else is or isn't doing. There'll be times, I don't know if you've ever watched any races, sometimes or mostly, I guess, in the movies that I remember years ago, where you always have someone who can't win a race without tripping up the other person, without cheating in some capacity to get ahead of someone who has really worked hard, who's really striving to do their best, and you always have someone who wants to disrupt that. Well, again, in your race, you do have someone who wants to keep you from getting to the end of the race, who wants to keep you from gaining the crowns that Jesus wants to give you, and that's your adversary. But my focus and your focus really can't be on the adversary. The Bible reminds us, in fact, look in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, I believe. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. We're told, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Again, we have an adversary, but God does not want us to be focused on the adversary. Because if we're always focused on the devil and what he's doing or what he might do, then we're not focused on the author and finisher of our faith. We're not focused on what God wants us to do. We're worried about the adversary. Now, God tells us, be sober, be vigilant. Okay, don't forget that you do have an adversary, but how do we overcome the adversary? Through our thoughts and even our actions. How do we overcome it? The Bible says, resist steadfast in the faith. Don't allow yourself, again, to be full of fear and trouble as you enter in this new year. The devil always wants us to think about the things that went wrong last year. He always wants us to think about what went wrong, where did we mess up, where were we not faithful to the Lord, you know, where did he get an advantage and all of that. But God wants us to keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith, always looking ahead, as Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, right, but pressing toward the mark of the calling of God, the high calling in Jesus Christ. So always pressing forward, always looking ahead, not allowing failures to keep us behind or keep us from lagging in the race that God wants us to run. And again, if we keep our focus on the Lord, we will do well. We'll do well to keep our focus on the Lord because he's already ran this race. He's already finished it for us, but he wants us to finish it. He wants us to keep our focus on him, and there are some things that we have to do. Again, when you read scripture, there are essentially five crowns that you and I can win in this race. And again, we can't win the race alone. We have to depend upon Christ, right? We have to renew our mind. Even as you enter this new year, you and I have to renew our minds through God's word. Because whatever we think, that's what we're going to respond to. That's what we're going to act to. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If someone thinks that they're unlovable, they're not going to allow God to love them. If someone thinks they're not worth anything, well, they believe that they're not worth anything to God. If someone believes, well, you know what, I've messed up enough. I just can't seem to get on a good Bible reading schedule. I can't seem to be faithful to prayer. It's kind of hit and miss. I can't seem to be faithful to church. I can't seem to be faithful in just growing in my relationship with the Lord. I might as well just give up. That's the wrong answer. Because I'm always reminded of Peter, who when he messed up and he thought it was over, he didn't even after Jesus showed himself alive to Peter in that upper room, Peter still decided to go fishing because he thought, well, okay, Jesus showed himself, but he doesn't want to do anything with me. He doesn't want to use me anymore because I did something that I said I wouldn't do. And I'm glad that God never gives up on us because it was Jesus who went to Peter. It wasn't Peter going to God. Jesus went to Peter. And Jesus had the fire burning, had the bread and the fish there, and Peter swims to shore. The other disciples come, and the Lord just focuses on Peter and says, do you love me? And that's the question we have to answer. When we mess up and the Lord says, do you love me? Yes. Okay. The Lord said, follow me. Forget those things which are behind. He knows our heart. He knows when we don't mean to do things and we do them anyway. He knows when we're sorry, right? And he does. He comes to us and he wants us to focus on him. Again, there might be some things in 2023 you weren't faithful at like you wanted to. Well, guess what? We have another year to try again, and it's with the Lord's help that we can accomplish it. But there are some things here that we have to lay aside. And in verse 1, he says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, you and I are not the only one running the Christian race and having difficulties at different times. There have been other saints, other believers who have gone before us. They have finished their race, so we know that we can finish the race with the Lord's help. But he says, compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which thus so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So three things that we get from verse 1. Number one is we are to lay aside the weights. You know, and I know what the weights are in my life that continually keep me from Bible reading, from prayer, from getting closer to the Lord. We know what those weights are. It could be TV. We're spending too much time watching TV, too much time on social media. There's things in our life that are a weight, not necessarily a sin. That's why he says it's a weight, because not everything's a sin. But there are things that take away our time from the Lord, distract us from the things that God wants us to do, keeps us from reading his word, because it is by the word of God our faith grows. All right? If I am struggling with faith, then it's because I'm struggling with reading the Bible, because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How am I going to increase my faith? By reading God's word, applying it to my life, and acting upon it, all right? I can't just have a copy of God's word and say, Lord, increase my faith. He's given me something to read, because I can read actual accounts of people whose faith were increased by the Lord. I can read accounts of Jesus and how he helps people and forgives people and leads people. I mean, his word truly is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. It needs to be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my feet. But I'll say this, if I don't believe that I have God's word, then nothing's going to change. At times I am ashamed of myself when I think about how dedicated and faithful some people are to false religions and false gods. I think, man, I need to be more faithful, more diligent to my true living God than they are. But there's times where I see that, I'm thinking, man, I better step up the pace. I better prove that I really believe what I know, right? But we're to lay aside the weights. Again, I can't go through a whole list, but let the Holy Spirit show you in your life what is a weight. What is it that's keeping you from growing in your faith, keeping you from getting closer to the Lord? And believe me, if you have Christ as your Savior, he's already, through the year, been revealing things and showing you things. It's just a matter if we're recognizing it, if we're acknowledging the Lord, all right? And I mean, this... Again, it may not be necessarily something that's sinful. And here's an illustration, not really illustration. Here's something in my life that was in my life. And you may think, well, man, that's kind of silly. But it was something that I was giving more credit to than the Lord, and that was drinking coffee. I was drinking a ton of coffee. I couldn't start my day without coffee. I couldn't end my day without coffee. Most people don't drink coffee before they go to sleep because it keeps them wide awake. Not me. I would drink coffee, wouldn't I, babe? And I could fall asleep or on the spot. But I just thought I had to have a cup of coffee. I couldn't even read my Bible unless I had a cup of coffee. And the Lord just showed me that, you know what? You need to cut back on that. You need to stop that, because you believe, because I had the mindset, I can't do anything unless I have a cup of coffee. And that's what God doesn't want us to do, is have a mindset that I can't do this for God unless I have this. Because then we are depending on whatever it is to help us to do what God wants to do us to do instead of relying upon him. So, I mean, again, it may not be sin. So when God brings something to your mind, don't automatically dismiss it. Think about it. Say, you know what? Maybe I am giving more time to that than I am to the Lord. So lay aside the weights that God shows you that are a weight in your life. Somebody once said this, is the thing a weight or is it a wing? Is it that which speeds you on your course or does it hold you back? Weights are not necessarily external. They are, first of all, in the heart, But the moment a thing gets a place in my heart and mind, which is not in God's mind for me, it becomes a weight no matter what it is. So again, think about it. Let God show you this next year, and maybe he's already been showing you what the weight is. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Don't let anything control you except the Holy Spirit of God. We're told that in Ephesians, right? Be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. God wants the Holy Spirit to control us because it's the Holy Spirit that wants to cultivate his fruit in our life. Love, joy, peace, meekness, long-suffering, temperance, right? Temperance is self-control, all right? So don't let anything control you, and you'll know what it is, and you might already know something in your life that controls you because you already think, well, I have to. And one of the things that easily controls people is either TV, social media, or just something on the internet. People that are really into that because it's, again, got to watch over and over and over again. Well, I'm going to look up something because I'm thinking about buying something, so I'll look it up, and it just goes. Back when I used to watch TV, I mean, when I was a teenager and a kid and really even in my early 20s, you know what it's like when you could sit down and watch TV and before you know it, 5 hours have gone by? I just remember this one time when I was a kid, I forget how old I was, came home from school, it was about 2:30, watching the cartoons and all that you do. Before I knew it, it was dark because I didn't have any lights on. All of a sudden, you know, I'm just staring at the TV for hours. Then when I stopped, it's dark. My parents pull into the driveway. I had not done my chores. I had not done my homework, but I'd spent hours. It just, you lose time when you're consumed with something, all right? Let's lose time being consumed in Bible reading, okay? Again, watching cartoons, looking up, you know, non-sinful things, it's fine, but again, you can find yourself losing time and losing precious time that we could be spending with the Lord, all right? So let God speak to your heart through this year to show you maybe some weights, because what is God's desire for each of us? That we would grow closer to him, that we would get to know him more and be conformed more into the image of Christ. But it may not be a weight. There may be some weights, but he also says, let us lay aside the sin which doth so easily beset us. There may be some sin in our life that, you know what, I'm not hearing God speak to me. Because God does not compete with sin. He doesn't compete with weights either. God does not try to force himself in our life. He speaks, and we have to be sensitive to his voice. But if there's sin in our life, and again, the sin could be lying, it could be unbelief, it could be non-trust, it could be some sin where, you know what, we're watching things on the internet we shouldn't be. We're watching movies that we shouldn't be because there's cursing, there's nudity. It may be that we have easily just allowed ourselves not to guard ourselves. The Bible says, quench not and grieve not the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit that guides us. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals truth to us, helps us to understand Scripture, helps us to know what God wants us to do. God wants us to hear his voice. Some people get really comfortable not hearing God's voice and not being guided. Well, I'm on my way to heaven. Isn't that good enough? It might be good enough for you, but I really want to hear the voice of God. I really want to be guided by God's Spirit. I really want to be pleasing to the Lord by submitting myself to the Lord and surrendering my life to the Lord. Okay, we're going to enjoy all of eternity with the Lord, but remember, Jesus said he came to give life and give it more abundantly. Are you and I experiencing the abundant life that Christ has for us? If we're allowing sin and weights to control us and weigh us down, then we're not
experiencing the abundant life that Christ has for us. So we have to lay aside the weight and lay aside the sin which thus so easily beset us. The psalmist said in Psalm 18, verse 23, I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. We have to turn from it, pass not by it. Whatever it is, and the Lord reveals whatever it is, we have to just admit to the Lord, you're right, Lord. Even if I don't think it's a sin and God reveals it, because listen, one thing, there are several things the devil's not going to try to get you to do. The devil's not going to tempt you in witnessing to someone and telling them about Jesus. The devil's not going to tempt you into reading your Bible. He's not going to tempt you into praying, right? The devil wants to keep you from those things, right? He doesn't want you or me to be a testimony to somebody else and tell them about Christ. He doesn't want us to read the Bible because the Bible changes us, right? So if God reveals something to you, and it's not, let's say, a sin, it's just a weight. Let's just, for me, it was drinking coffee. Well, coffee's not bad. I could have said, well, that's the devil. The devil's trying to get me to stop drinking coffee. We've got to be careful that we don't do that, because whatever God reveals, we just have to be honest. Lord, you're right. That probably is taking up more time. I'm probably looking for that. I'm looking to that for comfort and looking to that to help me to start my day and all of that, when it should be the Lord I'm seeking, the Lord that I want to help me through the day and to start my day. And again, whatever the sin may be, the Lord will help us, all right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So somebody might ask, okay, well, Pastor, how do we lay aside the sin once God reveals it? Well, number one, it's always, always we have to humble ourselves before the Lord. We have to surrender ourselves to the Lord. And Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 reminds us, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It always starts with us surrendering to the Lord. Lord, I belong to you. Because remember, Jesus bought us with his precious blood. We belong to him. Now, we don't belong to him as slaves, but he looks at us as friends. We're joint heirs with Christ, right? He has prepared a place for us, but there are still things he wants to do in our life, and we have to be surrendered to him. We have to be submissive to him and humble ourselves before him and remember the position we have in Christ. We have a position. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. Again, Paul said this way, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Right? We have the Spirit of God in us. We have the ability to live the Christian life through Christ. And he has such a desire for us to live this life with his help. He doesn't want us to be controlled by sin or controlled by weights. That was pre-salvation. I mean, he broke the chains of sin, right? He has cleansed us by his precious blood. He doesn't want us to give control to anything but him, because his control in our life is for our best interest. He wants to do great things in our life. He wants to change us. He wants to strengthen your faith and my faith. He wants us to be resolved and always trusting him and never doubting one second that he will not be faithful and be there for us. So again, whatever the sin is or the weights, you and I have to let the Holy Spirit show us. Now, look at Matthew chapter 4, because the third thing we can do to lay aside sin, obviously we surrender ourselves to the Lord. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We are that living sacrifice who remembers our position in Christ. And we also again, saturate ourselves with the Word of God. To this day, from the Garden of Eden till this day, over 6,000 years, the world is not billions of years old. It's roughly over 6,000 years, coming up probably on 7,000 years being old. And maybe in Sunday school we'll go through the age of the earth and mankind. But you think from the beginning, what has been attacked over and over and over and over again in a person's life who is trusting it? It's God's Word. Continually being attacked. So you and I will not believe that we have the Word of God, so that we'll just believe, well, it was written by man. Well, there are other books written by men that we follow. I mean, man wrote a manual so I'd know how to operate my vehicle and would know, you know, the right tire pressure to put in the tires and stuff so they don't go bald so quickly. I mean, just... right? There are books and manuals that we read written by men, but God used certain men to pen down his words. But it is what is attacked even today and has always been attacked. And if you and I do not believe that we have the Word of God, then we're left to decide what's right and wrong. We're left to figure out what's going to help me get closer to God when he's already revealed it in his Word. But in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, Jesus said, as Jesus was tempted by the devil, in verse 3, to turn stones into bread because Jesus was hungry, 40 days in the wilderness fasting, he's hungry, he's allowed himself to have a physical body that's tired, thirsty, hungry, and the devil, the first temptation is for Jesus to satisfy his hunger. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Has that ceased to be the truth? Do we now in 2024 not need the Word of God anymore? If Jesus said it, then I think we still need it. Because we all have appetites in our life that we try to satisfy. Some appetites do not need to be satisfied. Those that have an appetite for immoral sexuality do not need to satisfy those appetites. There are sinful appetites that do need to be starved out. But the spiritual appetites that God gives us, he gives us a desire to want to know him more. He gives us a desire to want to hear his voice more. He gives us a desire that we want Christ to be revealed in us more. We have to satisfy those desires, and it is through the Word of God, saturating our hearts and minds with the Word of God. So we're to lay aside the weights, we're to lay aside the sins, and we are to resist the urgency to rush. Look, if you would, back in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We do have to resist the urge to rush, or the urgency to rush. There are times where, you know what, you only have a couple minutes and you just read a couple of verses to help you along the way. But there's got to be time where you and I have quality time with the Lord, not just rushing through the Christian life. Because again, God wants to do things in our life, and there are specific times and specific things that he wants to do, and we just have to be patient. Don't be rash in decisions that you make this year. Seek the Lord. And as you seek him, wait upon the Lord. Again, then there's times where, you know what, you don't have a whole lot of time to wait, and that's why we need to already be walking with the Lord so we can, Lord, what do I do here? Because you've got to make a decision right then, but you've already been walking with the Lord. You've already been letting God guide you and lead you because he knows what's going to happen this year. You're already prepared to cast your care upon him. You're already ready to hear what his answer direction is. So at a spare moment, like Nehemiah standing before the king, and the king said, "Why do you have a sad countenance?" And Nehemiah was afraid because before a heathen king, he could easily have you killed if you weren't joyous as the cupbearer. And the Bible says Nehemiah breathed a prayer, a very quick prayer for the Lord to help him. There's times where all you can do is, "Lord, help me." But you're trusting, you're believing that God will, because you've already been following the Lord and letting him lead you. You've already been spending that quality time. But there are times where God wants us to wait a specific amount of time, and we have to be patient. Be patient with the Lord. It's amazing how sometimes we can be patient with certain people, but when it comes to God, we become impatient. We need to be more patient with the Lord, because he knows what he wants to do in our life, and he knows what he's doing and how to have everything work out for us. The Bible says in James chapter 1, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." God's always working on our patience as he's working on our faith. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." Okay, well, if tribulation works patience, then I'm going to pray that God brings no tribulation in my life this year, because you know what? I don't need any more patience. I've had enough patience in 2023. But again, that's the wrong focus, because the focus is I want more of God in my life. I want more of his direction. I want more of his blessing. I want to be more like Christ. And again, God does help us, because what do we learn through trials and tribulations? What do we learn through times where I don't have the answer? I don't know what to do. We learn to wait on God, and we learn that God's faithful to help us. So the patience we learn through tribulations is the patience of waiting on God and seeing God come through. And when you look at one of my favorite verses in Scripture in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, the Bible says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." God does not desire for us to be wrung out like old dish rags, tired and just, you know, no energy and just no faith whatsoever. No, because the patience comes from the Lord. Because as we're waiting on him, he's renewing our strength. He's renewing our faith. He's strengthening our faith. He's strengthening our resolve in him. So as we wait on the Lord, we actually do better by waiting on the Lord. Waiting on him, not just physically, but mentally and spiritually, right? Because, I mean, I can sit in the pew and think, okay, I hear everything that person is saying, but, and we have all these arguments in our head. That's where faith comes in. Does God bless? Have you received blessings from when you waited on God? Sure, it might have been hard, and there's the temptation to, I got to do something. I got to make this work. But you made yourself wait, and then God blessed, and you're like, wow, that was better than what I would have done, right? I mean, God just promises that, because you back up to Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Don't forget this verse in this new year. Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Sometimes diligently seeking God is waiting. Diligently waiting. Because I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm seeking him with my heart while I wait on the Lord. So resist the urgency to rush through life without truly following the Lord. The second thing I want you to think about is the pattern for this race. Go back to Hebrews chapter 12 in verse number 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. There are things and people in your life who have encouraged you along the journey. I've had people in my life encourage me. In fact, I was going through some old emails a couple of years ago because I was looking for a certain email that I had saved, and I came across an email from my pastor, the first pastor I had in Wisconsin. And I was reading the email because he had passed away not soon after that. I had sent him an email just telling him, you know, what a blessing he had been in my life and my wife's life, and I mentioned some other things, and he responded back, and then he sent me a letter in the mail. I still got that letter in my office. And I was reading that, and I was just encouraged by it. So there's people in your life, hopefully, who have encouraged you along your journey as a Christian. They've encouraged you at some point, right? And that's what the Lord wants us to do, is to be encouraged as we look to Jesus. We can't always look to somebody else, because the Bible says that we're not to compare ourselves among ourselves. We could easily look at somebody else and say, well, why do they have a better life? Why aren't they going through what I'm going through? Why is this happening to me and not happening to them? That's why he says looking unto Jesus, because our focus is Jesus. Many Christians are running this race. Many have finished this race. And we are still on this race until we get to the end. And only the Lord knows where the finish line is for you and me, right? The ultimate finish line is the rapture and to be with the Lord. But 2024, we have no idea what's going to happen, but God wants us to keep our eyes on Christ. He's the pattern for the race that we're running, because he is the perfecter of our faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. How's my faith going to grow? I've got to look to Jesus to see how I'm to live and run this race. He's the one. Look to Jesus, right? He's the author and finisher of our faith, and he's the pattern for our faith. Because notice he says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. We know that Christ was going to die on the cross of Calvary. He knew that. It wasn't something that was revealed on Mount Transfiguration, as some believe. He already knew. He knew he was coming to live a sinless life, to die on the cross of Calvary, but it says Jesus had his focus on something else. Not the cruelty of the cross he was going to have to endure, but he had his focus on being back at the right hand of the Father. Being back at the right hand of the Father in all his glory. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The joy was not the cross, but he was able to endure the cross because of the joy that was set before him, the joy of being back with the Father, being at the right hand of the Father. And what is set before us? Eternity. As we've been going through Revelation, the New Jerusalem, your home in eternity, the place that God's prepared for you, the glorified body that you will receive that will never need glasses, never need knee replacements, shoulder replacements, never need a heart surgery. We will have that glorified body. There is joy set before us, and the ultimate joy is Jesus Christ, and therefore we can endure the race because our eyes and heart are fixed on Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 53, verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. In Isaiah 53 again, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Never forget that. Jesus was wounded for your transgressions and mine. He didn't die on the cross of Calvary for his sins, but for our sins. So the joy that we have set before us is that we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb And nothing and nobody can take the gift of salvation away from you. No one can take the Holy Spirit from you. No one can go into your mansion in heaven and rob you, as people do upon this earth, going in people's homes and robbing them and tearing it up. As I experienced as a high schooler, going home one day after school, going to go in, get ready to go to work. The door is open. I'm thinking, okay, I was last one to leave. I forgot to close it all the way. I go in, close the door, but it doesn't close. And I turn, look, and oh, that's because the door frame is busted and there's a big old footprint on the door. And I go through the kitchen, go through the dining room, kind of peek my head down the hall, and it was like my house had been ransacked. They had stolen all the firearms that I had and my dad had and jewelry and stuff. And okay, but that's why Jesus says to lay up your treasure where moth can't get to it, thieves can't get to it, rust can't get to it, right? We have possessions upon this earth, but our hearts are not supposed to be set in our possessions here on earth, but in our possessions in heaven, where nothing can happen to it, right? And God has prepared a wonderful place for us, but He's the perfecter of our faith. He's the pattern for our faith, and He is the provider for our faith. The disciples even asked Jesus, increase our faith, increase our faith. In Psalm 10, verse 12, the Bible says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, speaking of Jesus, sat down on the right hand of faith. How in the world can I believe that heaven is my home? Because of Jesus Christ and what the Bible says. He has gone to prepare a place. He died for me because I can't die for my sins. No one can die for my sins but Jesus Christ. And he died once. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He understands what you go through. Other people may not understand. Other people may not be able to relate to what you're going through, but Jesus does. He's touched by our infirmities. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Don't stop going to the throne of grace. Whether you have a need or don't have a need. But especially when you have a need and I have a need, that's the first place we need to go, is to the throne of grace. Because that way has been opened up to us. We have the boldness because He's our Father. He is our Heavenly Father. And we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, always standing there praying for us, interceding for us, right? But last thing I want you to think about is verse 3. A couple more minutes. Verse 3 in Hebrews chapter 12, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Jesus had people against him. You and I will have people against us in our faith. Don't let it bother you. Don't sweat it. Cast your care upon the Lord. Because we live in a sin-cursed world. There's people that we are around that are a part of our life that don't understand our faith, and that's okay. Keep living your faith. Keep letting Christ shine in your life. Keep letting people see that your relationship is real. And especially when difficulties come, let them see you seeking God through prayer and even telling them, hey, everything's fine because God is watching over me. God did not save us to take us out into a desert and kill us. That's what the Israelites thought after 3 days in the wilderness coming out of Egypt, seeing all the miracles of God. They said, oh, God's brought us out here to kill us. They even said, weren't there graves in Egypt? But no, God brought them out there to prove them and to keep showing them what a great and mighty God He is and for them to trust Him, right? He brought them out of Egypt, but He needed to get Egypt out of their hearts. because they had been in Egypt for over 400 years, generation after generation. They were serving false gods. They learned to serve false gods. And God had to get Egypt out of their heart. You're saved. If you know Jesus Christ, if you're trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, for your sin, you've been given the gift of salvation. God's taken you out of the world. We're still in the world, but we're not of the world, right? But he still needs to get the world out of our heart. Doesn't matter if you've been saved 40, 50 years. There's still some things in our heart that God wants to get out because he is sanctifying us. He wants to purify us. He wants to prepare us to meet our Lord and Savior. But just remember the suffering of our Lord. That should be the passion in our races. I'm looking to the author and finisher of my faith. He's ran this race. He did a wonderful thing for me in suffering for me. The Bible says in Colossians 3, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Remember, you're going to be with him in glory one day. You're going to see your Savior face to face. Your faith is going to become sight. Right now, we walk by faith, not by sight. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Remember, the Bible says in John 7:7, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Jesus fulfilled the Father's will, and he wants us to fulfill his will. Stay faithful. Keep your eyes on the author, finisher of your faith, and renew your mind daily through his word. The Bible says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. This body is getting older. This body is falling apart. It's failing in different ways, but I can still renew my mind daily to keep my focus on the Lord so I can finish this race. One of the worst things that people do on a daily basis is they curse their day before the day even gets started. Have you ever woke up in the morning and just started cursing the day? And by saying, oh, I don't want to get up today. I got to do this. It's going to be a bad day. This person's going to do this. I mean, our focus shouldn't be that way, but sometimes it is, right? And we've got to change the focus. And nope, it's going to be a good day because God's watching over me. God's going to guide my steps because I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. If I got to go to work, I'm going to go to work. But I'm going to trust that God's going to help me through the day no matter what. And I'm just going to meditate on the scripture he reveals to me because he's worthy. Never forget, God is worthy of our faithfulness. He's worthy of our dedication. He's worthy of us surrendering our thoughts and our hearts to him. And believe me, there's never been a person, I've never met a person that ever said, I wish I hadn't gotten saved. It's been the worst thing. Now, if someone has said that, they probably weren't saved because when someone becomes born again, they experience the goodness of God. They truly do. And that's what we have to focus on is the goodness of God, in order for us to even go forward in 2024.